Sam Harris online from Ex-Ambassadors. Hi, Sam, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Fine. You're getting ready with your coffee, right? As far as
I
see.
I'm making my beautiful coffee, and as soon as I have it, I will be amongst the living.
Just before the recording, you said it's a piece of home because you take it on tour, this coffee maker.
Yeah.
It's heavy,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, I have a little portable electric kettle that I take with me that has a pour over unit attached to it, and my own mug, and I have my own beans. I have a scale. I'm like a scientist. It's a little annoying to travel with just because it is heavy, but yeah, for me it's worth it. You know, I like rituals in my life. I like to feel, you know, like I can do these things, whether it's journaling or meditation or making a cup of coffee or cooking, especially when I'm moving through time and space.
Hmm. At the moment, you are in London, and from London you arrive to Budapest next Wednesday. On the 8th of June, you give a concert in Aquarium Hall. You've been here before COVID, and you didn't see the Hungarian fans since then.
Yeah, you know, we were in Budapest right before COVID hit, and that was like kind of when things were starting to catch up with us. It had been chasing us when we were on tour. We were on a big European tour, and we started hearing about it like maybe a few days before our Budapest show, feeling like, oh, maybe this is going to be an issue. Maybe more shows are going to get canceled because of this. Because our shows in Italy had been canceled. We had shows in China that had been canceled. But let me tell you, man, I wasn't thinking about any of that stuff when I was in Budapest, because I was just so in awe of how beautiful the city was. And
it is.
You know, I had the best time there. So
I love London. I love Paris. But still, what is this extra Budapest gives you?
I feel like for me, you know, I do a lot of walking. So I look at the architecture, and the architecture in Budapest is just amazing. Amazing. And the colors, you know, I love the colors of the buildings. That was the thing that struck me the first time I was there, you know, how colorful everything was. Just kind of against this gray, you know, that exists in Europe mostly. That's how it is. That's how it is in upstate New York, you know.
Yeah.
It's always gray.
Your music has the signs of the American folk music. So it was a good escape for you, I guess, from the place you started up. And I was just thinking, with this music, what can you give to the people who are not related to America? Because when I listen to Taylor Swift, it is something like this, you know, like American folk music, like signs of American folk music. And this is what I hear out from your music. So
that's a big compliment. Thank you.
It wasn't made for that, but yeah, you're welcome. But the thing is, when you go on tour, do you see any difference of the reaction from the American people and the European people?
I mean, well, on a base level, yes. I do think that there are noticeable differences playing to American audiences versus audiences from all around the world. You know, we've played shows. It also depends on the city too. You know, like our shows in South America are usually like really, really wild. Right? The audiences are really, really into it. Our shows in Quebec are always insane. Audiences go crazy for us in Quebec. In the States, we can have large crowds, and sometimes the shows can be really wild and rowdy, and sometimes not. You know, when we come to Europe, it's a similar thing. You know, I think that culturally, you know, in terms of like what our experience is on stage, performing for people, it's always different. I think some places in the world can have audiences that are more reserved than others, and it's also it changes from day to day, from show to show. We could play a show in Minneapolis that was like kind of low key one time, and then the next time we come through Minneapolis, it's like a rowdy crowd. So that, I guess that's kind of a moot point. I do feel though that there is something that I would like our audience to take away from listening to our stuff, because there are elements of American folk music and country music and music that is very inherently American,
yeah,
in our sound. And I want to create a sense of where we're from. We're from upstate New York, which is not New York City.
Yeah,
It is very much not New York City. It is 5 hours away from New York. It's in the middle of nowhere, you know. And I think even though it's in the middle of nowhere, it's kind of everywhere also. Wow. You know, there are so many small towns and small cities and communities all across the world. And I feel like there's some part of that is unifying. And I want to remind people of that, you know, there are similarities there.
I think it's important because I know how Hungarian folk music affects people. And this is interesting how American country music can be related to the mood people need to go through.
Yeah, I guess in that sense, you know, again, we're bringing parts of ourselves with us. We're bringing a piece of home with us everywhere we go. Like with my coffee.
Like coffee. That's interesting. So what are you doing in London right now? Is it some artistic thing or are you just relaxing?
It is artistic. I'm working, I'm writing with a couple of different artists. So in addition to the stuff I do with the band, I'm a songwriter and a producer. So I'm working with some artists out here. I'm writing for myself as well. And I have a solo project now that I'm working on. Other than that, I'm hanging. My father lives here. My dad lives here. So
Oh, really?
I'm seeing him.
Are you staying at your father's home right now?
Yeah, I'm at his flat.
Yeah, that's interesting. You just brought it up because I didn't know your parents are separated, or I don't know. I didn't know how your family life is. But anyway,
yeah, my dad and my stepmom live out here, and my mom is back in Ithaca.
That's another little question about your people in Ithaca. When you go back, do you bring the experience, what you gain during touring, to your people in Ithaca? Or what is your relation now to your folk city?
My relationship with it, I feel like, is so much better than it has been in the past. You know, when I was a kid, I wanted to get out of there so badly. You know, when I was growing up, it was too small for me. It was too claustrophobic, so I needed to leave.
Mm.
And then once I left, I wanted nothing to do with it. And it's been a slow process of me. I think ever since signing our record deal and kind of we had to look at ourselves and say, okay, we're putting our first album out on a major label. This is in 2013 is when we signed. Our first record came out in 2015. We had to look at ourselves and say, like, who are we?
Mm-hmm.
What do we need to come out with a strong sense of identity of who we are. And that was my journey to come back home. We actually we went back to Ithaca and shot a bunch of music videos and took a bunch of press photos there for the first record. And so on, you know, aesthetically, everything involved with VHS, which had Renegades and Unsteady, that was all, you know, upstate New York. Musically, didn't really feel like upstate New York. Not everything. A few songs. Renegades, maybe. And Unsteady was a very personal song. Now, with this new record that we've worked on, we recorded it all in upstate New York. A lot of the songs I wrote based on my experiences in upstate New York were name checking streets and bars and prisons, you know, and like schools in upstate New York throughout the record. And so I've gotten even closer to, and again, we went back there and we filmed a bunch of content for the album that takes place in upstate New York. It's a place that I mean, I love so much because it's my home, but I also think that it is indicative of so many other places in the country that are overlooked. You know, because it's in New York State, New York is New York City. You say New York, you think of New York City.
Yeah.
And I think that creates an atmosphere in that place, in that town, of feeling like, oh, we're invisible. Oh, we don't exist. And that is also something that I think I've struggled with on a personal level my whole life, of feeling like unseen and invisible. And that's why I do what I do. You know, that's why I write songs, because I want people to hear my voice. I want people to see me.
But you know what? Whatever happens in your life, it doesn't matter how famous you become. The feeling, because you bring it from your past, the feeling can remain with you. Is there any switcher that just switching it off and you just face the future and you don't think about your past feelings about being visible or invisible?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that you can try, but I think people say, like, you're like everything that all of who you are kind of like is where it is when you're like 8 years old, you know, and everything after that is just kind of like trying to unlearn some of that stuff or cope with some of that stuff or, you know, like grow from there. But I'm still that 8 year old kid.
Yeah.
You know, who feels like, you know, alone and scared and lost. And I think that I will always feel that in some way and will always have to, we'll always have to face that kid and say like, hey, it's okay. You're okay. You're fine. But I think we carry that stuff with us for our whole lives.
You need to do
it. And there's something beautiful in that, you know, like there's something beautiful and frustrating, of course.
Oh, yeah.
But I think, you know, yeah, we can try and evolve. And that's kind of that's the beauty of in the trying, right?
What is your method to go through and face your kid personality? Did it ever happen to you that you don't want to go on stage? You just can't face the fame and the person you became to?
There have definitely been times when I don't want to go on stage, but it's not ever been because of that necessarily on a surface level. Maybe deep down, there have been shows where I'm reluctant to go on stage because I feel like I'm embarrassed because we're playing some like corporate event and no one, you know, is paying any attention. And I'm God, I don't want to do this
with the same band, right?
Yeah, with my same band. Or like, you know, we're playing a show and it's deep into tour and I'm exhausted and I'm sick and I don't want to go on stage. There are those times. And yeah, you know, if I'm being honest, I think there have been a few times where, you know, I've maybe been in the midst of an existential crisis and I'm thinking like, wow, I've been doing this for so long. And it's kind of the same stuff over and over and over again. And am I going to do this forever and ever and ever always? I don't know. You know, like I think I've definitely had moments like that where I feel like we're in a rut creatively or as a, you know, like our career has plateaued and I'm like, oh no, I'm stuck now. And those are the times when I don't want to go on stage. And then working through that, just putting one foot in front of the other, man. You know, like there's no real method to it other than just like,
it's to wake up again. Time never stops.
Yeah, like other than acknowledging the feeling, saying like, I'm feeling like shit right now. And and going on stage anyways and
Well,
singing it anyways.
yeah, but coming off stage, it comes back, doesn't it?
Well, you know, generally I find if I go on stage grumpy, I'll leave stage happier
Wow, okay.
because I'll have proved to myself, A, that I can still do it, even if I'm feeling a certain way. And I guarantee, like always, this is what always happens. I'm grumpy and then I go on stage and I start, you know, I start playing and singing and there's one person in the audience who knows every single word. And I lock onto them and I'm like, I'm doing this for you. This
Wow.
is your show tonight. You know, and then also there have been times, man, I was playing a corporate gig with the band last year, and you know, it was one a corporate gig. It wasn't like I wasn't in a bad mood, but you know, I wasn't really expecting much from it. And the crowd was fine, you know, it was just a bunch of drunk, you know, people in suits. And this one woman's at the front of stage and she's waving at me and she's like, come here, come here. And I'm like, okay. And I go over to the front of stage and I lean over and she says, on your song Unsteady, are you gonna play it? And I'm like, yeah, we're gonna play it. Of course we're gonna play it. She said, that song means so much to my husband and I. We lost our son last year. And that song really helped us grieve him. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks, man. I was so emotional in that moment. And I was floor. I was like out of nowhere, you know? And so then we play the song for her later, and she's standing at the front of the stage with her husband, and they're holding each other. And it was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen and been a part of in my life. And again, I'm like at a corporate gig in Boston or Chicago, I forget where it was, you know, like not expecting that at all. And those are the moments that lift you out of it. And remind you, oh, this isn't about you. This is
Yeah.
not about you. This is about something bigger than that. This is about something that you've made, maybe, but it's not yours. It belongs to them now.
It's tough to realize this, but as soon as you realize it, I think you get a happier person. So,
I
thank you
agree.
for sharing this this story. We are looking forward to see you in Aquarium Club
Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing Aquarium Club.
and enjoy your time in London with your dad. So,
Yeah, I will.
see you next Thursday, right?
Yeah,
Next
man. I'll see you
Thursday
soon.
in Budapest.
Can't wait.
Sam
Thank you
Harris,
so
thank you so
much.
much.